Going to be doing things slightly backwards as we look at the tabernacle this morning, in that we're going to begin with a New Testament application or a New Testament revelation. And it's in the book of Matthew in the New Testament, and in chapter 17, we have this account of when Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum. We're told that the collectors of this half shekel tax, or some of your translations might say 2 drachma tax, they go up to Peter and they ask, "Does your teacher not pay taxes?" And Peter says, "Yes, in that he does pay taxes." When he comes into the house where Jesus was, Jesus spoke and said to Peter, "What do you think, Simon, Simon Peter? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" And Peter answered, "Well, these kings, that they would take the tax from others. Of course they wouldn't tax their own sons. Their own sons are royalty. They belong to the Most High. They're rulers of the kingdom." So Jesus then says to Peter, "Then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." Now, there are some difficulties with this passage in Matthew. Now, these difficulties aren't in the events themselves or the translation of the text. We don't have difficulty in believing that these events happened. This is God's word. But the difficulties that we find with this passage are cultural. What is a 2 drachma tax or a half shekel tax? That means nothing to us. Why does it have to be paid? Why does 1 shekel cover the cost of this tax for 2 people? And these are difficulties that we have. They're questions that we would want answered from this passage so that we can understand what's happening. And I want to propose to you this morning that to understand this New Testament passage, we actually have to go backwards. We have to go back to that tent in the dry, dusty wilderness, the tabernacle. And here in the instructions for the tabernacle, we start to find the answers that help us to unlock the areas where our understanding is perhaps deficient. So we go back. Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 to 16. And God is telling Moses that when he takes a census, he is also to take a ransom price of 0.5 shekel from each man numbered and recorded. And this money is then to be used in the construction and the maintenance of the tabernacle. God's dwelling place will quite literally stand on this ransom. And this is the first census that we're told about among God's people. We have a census every 10 years. It's for the purpose of our government to know the number of people living within its bounds. And the taking of a census is a sign of authority. Those who command the census to be taken are saying, "You belong to me. You are numbered as one of mine." And that's important for us to understand. But when our government takes a census, they are saying, "You belong to us." And God's doing the same thing here. A.W. Pink, a Christian writer and teacher in the first half of the 20th century, he wrote this: "When God numbers or orders anything to be numbered, taking the sum of them denotes that they belong to him, that he has the sovereign right to do with them as he pleases. The action itself says of the thing numbered These are mine, and I assign them their place as I will. So God is numbering Israel. God has the right and the authority to number that which belongs to him. But alongside the numbering is this half shekel price that has to be paid. A shekel was a measurement. We shouldn't think of a shekel as a coin. It was a weight, normally the weight of silver. A half shekel was probably about 6 grams of silver. Now today that would be worth about £2.30. It wasn't a large amount. In Jesus' day, the Greek term was drachma, and 2 drachmas were worth the same as a half shekel. And we're told that this weight, this half shekel, was a ransom price paid by everyone who's numbered, so that no plague will come on them. So as the people are being numbered, as God is saying, "You are mine," you're being added in, your names are recorded, there's a price that's having to be paid. It was so that no plague would come on the people, but also so that the tabernacle could be built, so that it could be maintained. And this was going to be a remembrance for the people and for God. Well, now that clears everything up for the passage in Matthew, doesn't it? Not quite. Back to Moses. We're not told if Moses was to take this census every year. Probably it wasn't. God simply says in verse 12, "When you take the census." What we do know is that by the time of Jesus, this census tax, or this ransom price, is taken every year. And even today, in some parts of Judaism, they still pay this money, this half shekel. Now they don't give it in silver, they give it in a half denomination coin, so 50p, which is half of a pound. And so for every Jew within the family, they give this money, obviously not to the temple or tabernacle because they're no longer there, but they give it to charity. And so still within Judaism, there is this practice of paying this. So by the time of Jesus, this census tax, this money, is given every year. 2 drachmas, or half a shekel. And Jesus says to Peter, "You will find 1 shekel and use that for the 2 of us. Peter, what you find, what I provide, what I give, will be used to pay, and I will do it for you." Are we any clearer yet? Maybe we're getting there, but still not enough for us to understand what's going on. The numbering of God's people and the payment of a ransom price. So let's this morning think about the meaning of this ransom price. And as we look at this ransom price, I want you to understand that this is clearly pointing us to Jesus Christ. And there is something wonderful. If you're a Christian this morning, as we read this and as we understand it, there's something here that should excite us and stir us and give us great comfort and assurance. There's a ransom price that is to be paid. And as we find in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus miraculously pays that price for Peter. So let's look at the ransom price this morning. And we do so in Exodus chapter 30. The first thing we see is that it was to escape the wrath of God. This ransom price was to escape the wrath of God. Verses 11 and 12 of Exodus 30. When the census is taken, each shall give a ransom for his life to the Lord, that there be no plague among them. God was saying, danger! There's a warning. Plague. Disaster. A plague in Scripture is always a sign of God's displeasure, or even more so, God's righteous anger. For the Israelites, they understood this word plague. They had seen it in Egypt. They were there as their Egyptian neighbors went through these plagues. Although the Israelites were preserved, they saw the outworkings of the plagues. They saw the devastation of the plagues. They were aware of what the plagues were. God's righteous anger on wickedness. And that's the picture language used throughout Scripture. It's the picture language that the minor prophets use. It's the picture language in the book of Revelation. Plague is a sign of God's righteous anger on wickedness. We have an example in the Bible where the ransom price wasn't paid during a census. And this brought about a plague. During the reign of King David, David wanted to number his army, but no ransom price was paid. And David's motives were also pride. And so God sends a plague. You can read about that in 2 Samuel chapter 24. In the numbering of people, God is saying, I need you to know that sin is serious. Sin isn't a light matter. Sin isn't a small, trivial thing. It's an offense before God. Notice here in verse 12, that each shall give a ransom. All are equally in danger before God. All are guilty before God. All need a ransom. All need to escape God's wrath. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on the whole Bible, puts it well in this part in Exodus. Our souls are in equal danger. Do you know that your soul is in danger? Are you aware that the eternal God is withholding his judgment from you at the moment, but that will not last eternally? Each one of us are one breath away from suffering that eternal plague and destruction in hell forever that our sin deserves. Our soul needs a price paid. We need ransomed. Our eternal soul is threatened with the eternal plague of God's judgment on sin unless a ransom is paid. And if you are not a Christian, if you are not in Jesus Christ, then you need to know that your sin, your wickedness, your pride, your rejection of Jesus Christ, it is an offense before God, and it deserves the full, just wrath of God. You deserve the eternal plague of God's judgment. Our souls need a ransom price paid. We all need a ransom price paid for us. It's to escape the wrath of God. But that brings us secondly to the ransom price shows us that we have an equal worth before God. We have equal worth before God. Look at verse 13. Each one who is numbered in the census shall give this, half a shekel. Each one who was numbered was to give the same value, the same worth of silver. No more, no less. It was a fixed amount, a flat fee, the same for everyone. Look at verse 15. We'll come back to verse 14 in a moment. Verse 15, the rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel. Just as there is universal sinfulness, just as we are all sinful before God and we're all in need of a ransom, so the ransom price is the same for everyone. All are made righteous through the same ransom price. For the tabernacle Jew, it was half a shekel. Like this weight of silver wasn't very much. The reason being, it was achievable for the poorest in society. They could pay that. They could have that amount to cover them. The reason why the rich weren't to give any more is so that they couldn't have any bigger stake or bigger claim in the tabernacle. Each one was to give the same amount. Each one had the same value or the same worth in the tabernacle. Each one had the same worth, the equal worth, before God. Verse 14 tells us that those numbered in the census were to be males, 20 years old and over. That was the military numbering. Numbers chapter 1 gives us the details of the census. Verse 3 tells us that every male, head by head, from 20 years old and upward, all in Israel who are able to go to war. They were the ones numbered. Now, this isn't saying that only the men can be ransomed. Remember, it was an amount for all, rich and poor. If a man had a large family, he would obviously had to have paid more if the numbering system wasn't for men who were 20 years and older. And so, rather, to show the equality of worth for every family, it was those who could fight, that the representatives, the breadwinners, who were to pay the ransom price. The same ransom price for each person. The cost is the same. Everyone covered by the ransom price had equal worth before God. No one had more worth than anyone else. You could be the poorest in society, and yet it was the same ransom price that covered you as it was for the richest. And friends, this is true of our salvation. Scripture makes it clear that we have been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. And that price isn't gold or silver, but that price is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. It's interesting that Peter writes this, having had the shekel cover both his cost for the temple tax and Jesus. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Jesus' atoning sacrificial death. It's that death that covers our sin. It's that death that took the punishment for our sin. Jesus Christ, He has taken the plague that we deserve. Jesus Christ has paid the price so that our soul is covered, is ransomed by the price of His blood. And it's the same price. The same price for you and the same price for me. We are all equal in God's sight in Jesus Christ. In Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male or female, rich or poor, our worth before God in Jesus Christ is equal. The same death of Jesus Christ that paid for the sins of Peter, of Paul, of John, is the same price that has been paid for you. You are equal in the sight of God as the greatest of saints, the least of believers, are equal in the sight of God as the greatest of believers. The same ransom price. We have equal share in our service and standing before God because the price that has been paid is the same. Now, perhaps this morning you maybe feel worthless, of little worth, of little importance. You maybe think to yourself, I'm not like my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't have the gifts they have, the abilities they have. I don't have the resources and the means that they have. I just feel like a Christian who's worthless. Well, what does God say in His Word? The ransom price is the same. You have equal standing before God in Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? Do you know that? Does that not warm your heart? You have an equal standing before God because Jesus Christ has paid the price. And you're precious to God through Jesus Christ. You're numbered. You're included. God says, you belong to me. You are one of mine. The census has been taken. God has written your name down. He's added you in. The price has been paid. There is equal worth before God. And then thirdly and lastly, we see there's the escape from wrath. There's the equal worth before God. And then there is an everyday witness for the people. An everyday witness for the people. The silver that was taken in was to be used in the tabernacle as a daily witness, a continual reminder for the people and for God. The silver that was taken in was to be used as the basis for the inner part of the tabernacle. It was there to support the pillars and the poles. It was used on the caps on the outer poles and hooks on which to hook the outer boundary curtain. The silver was used for the upkeep of the tabernacle and for its maintenance, the sacrifices and the priests. We read of that in Exodus chapter 38, where the silver was used. Why is that important? Well, as an Israelite came to the tabernacle, as they came near, they could see the silver. They knew. They remembered. It bore witness to them. The truth is there before them. The ransom price has been paid. The threat of plague is averted. It's covered over. It's atoned for. Every day as they came to the tabernacle, it was a witness before them. As the priests went into the inner tabernacle, they could see that the very foundation is the ransom price that has been paid, the basis of the pillars. God's dwelling with God was literally built on the ransom price. God dwells with us and can dwell with us because the price for ransom has been paid. And it was a remembrance for God. There before God, in the very dwelling place of God, he sees the ransom price paid, covered over. This is part of the remembrance that we have at the Lord's Supper when we take the cup. The price has been paid. Friends, we also have this daily, everyday witness for us through God's word, through the fellowship we share, through entering into God's presence through Jesus Christ, we are reminded day after day after day, the price has been paid. As you look to Jesus Christ, as you come to Jesus Christ day by day, as you come to the dwelling place of God through Christ, and you consider your salvation, you look around at your salvation, the witness is there, the price has been paid. The very dwelling of God with us is built on the price that has been paid. And because your price has been paid in Jesus Christ, you are numbered among God's people. We're included. Our names are written in his book. God declares of each one of you in Jesus Christ, this one has been born here in my city. I declare it. Even those who once were far off, I have named them as my own. The price has been paid. How's it been done? Matthew chapter 17. Tells us how the price has been paid. Kings don't demand a ransom from their sons. The sons are royalty. That's what Peter and Jesus are discussing. Sons don't have to pay the tax. Jesus didn't have to pay the temple tax, the ransom price. He was God the Son, the King of Kings. Jesus Christ is the one full of majesty and power. The tax was not his to pay. But what does he do? He pays the price. He identifies with fallen humanity. And he provides the price. He does so miraculously to demonstrate who he is. And he pays the price for Peter. Jesus pays in abundance. Jesus covers the cost for Peter. Peter, there's no plague for you. Peter, there's no wrath of God for you. Peter, can you not see? I'm paying the price for you. So that later on, Peter could say, it's not silver or gold, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ that has paid the price. Jesus covers the cost. The innocent one, the Son of God, preserves us from everlasting punishment and ruin. And that is a remembrance, not just for us, but before God the Father. That it will bring remembrance before the Lord. And there in heaven, before the throne of the Father is Jesus Christ, the one who's paid the price. Your silver, your half shekel, the same price for everyone, is there before the throne of God. God sees, God knows, God remembers. Their price has been covered. They have equal worth in my eyes through Jesus Christ. I have numbered them in my family. Amen.